In Genesis 31, 42, one of the names of God, which I never had read before, is the one feared, the fear of Isaac. I'm going to go there now so we can read it in its context. And you know, church, there's a spirit of fear out there in the world that's trying to be a stronghold on all of us, on the world and in the church. A stronghold, though, we can either choose to stay trapped in, or we can walk in the freedom that comes from fearing God. Fearing God is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. That's something that shouldn't just be passed over for it to be referenced that often throughout the Word of God, right? And we know that the Word of God is inexhaustible, so you can hear this message preached from any other framework. This is not even, I wouldn't even say a grain of sand in how the fear of God could be broken down. If you could sliver a grain of sand and crush it up into dust, maybe that's because it's just so vast. The Word of God and God alone is so vast. We just read, we can't comprehend who God is, right? So in Genesis 31, verse 42, I came across this scripture and I never heard God referred to this way. And this is Jacob, and he's talking to Laban, and he says, "If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you surely would have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hand." And that just popped out of the page to me, the fear of Isaac. And when I looked that up, the feared one was another version of that. And it means object of dread. This is one of the names of God. We are to walk in fear of God, the one who is feared. God is mighty, church. Let us not be fooled. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God is a God of love. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. But right here, he is also called the feared one, the one to be feared. Why? Because we're going to stand in judgment someday. But as we are called to fear God, that fear of God is an awe, is a reverence, and it is an honor. We could walk in reverence and fear and honor of the one who is to be feared. Let that just sink in a moment tonight. We are called to fear God, which means to reverence him, to honor him, to walk in awe of him, him, the one who is feared. You know, there is times we get to a place where, as I said before, in the anointing of worship, that we want to bring God to where we are. We hear it joked a couple of times about some of the, you know, newer worship songs that are out there, and they're just like these beautiful love songs to Jesus, and sometimes you don't know if they're singing to a boyfriend or a girlfriend or who they're singing to, and I love God, and don't get me wrong, Jesus is my best friend. My best friend. He's a lover of my soul. Without the Lord, I wouldn't be here tonight. But he is, let's not forget, he is God of the universe. He spoke the worlds into existence. And he is holding our lives together. God is mighty. God is Jehovah. He is the great I am. And we have the privilege of living a life in honor and reverence in fear of him. And as we do that, when we come to the conclusion of this little pop-up message tonight, we're going to see that we're going to walk in some promises. Amen? So if you want to write down those chapters in Job that I read from, they're familiar chapters. If you've ever read the book of Job before, I read from chapter 38, 39, and 40, when God answers Job in such a powerful way. You know, there's some times where Jesus is talking in the Bible, those red letters, and I think, you know, I think he's whispering this to me. I don't think he's yelling this to me. But I have to say, in the book of Job, when God is saying this to Job, I have to say, I wasn't there, I don't know, this is a Nickyism, but I'm thinking God was saying this pretty sternly. I'm thinking he was saying there, who do you think you are, Job? Who do you think you are to question me? I hung the world in its place. I gave life to you. I breathed life into your body. I formed you with my hands. And I think sometimes God wants us to realize that, church. How are you walking around in fear when Jesus says, why are you fearful? Where's your faith? Do not realize you serve the God of the universe. Let's look at this. Do not realize you're a child of the King of Kings. We belong to the great I am. Let's look at this in context of we belong to the one who hung the world in place. The one who created us is still holding us in his hands. Amen? And that's why when we walk in the fear of the feared, we walk under his protection. We walk under his grace. We walk in his love. Amen? Amen. I want to turn to, and if you would with me, to Isaiah chapter 8. I want to talk about fearing man versus fearing God tonight. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Because we are instructed in the word who we are to fear and who we are not to fear. And it's very plain and it's very simple. Isaiah 8, verse 12 says, "Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread." God alone is the one we are to fear. Not conspiracy outside the walls of protection. What does that mean to us tonight? Fears of what's happening outside of the barriers of the fear of God, where we live. We live by faith in the word of God, boundaries of faith. So anything outside of that that wants to try to come and rob us of our peace, our joy, our safety, our provision, is what is outside those walls. We're not to fear that. We're not to give into that. We're not to allow that to permeate our perimeter of faith that is around us. We are to only fear God. We are not to live trapped by external fears that come from the world outside the word. Fears of the world that come outside of the word. Very simple to remember. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks to me. If it's outside of the word of God, from the world, it's exterior. We're not supposed to be giving in to the exterior fears. When we fear God, we will live in complete peace. A couple definitions of the word fear as I was studying today. Fear towards God, the meaning is, as we know, is reverence, honor. It's a respect felt or shown. That's how we are to live our lives in the fear of the Lord, by honoring him, by showing respect to God. Fear of man is defined in Strong's is trembling and anxiety. Have you ever experienced fear of this kind? I think we all have. Fear that makes us tremble. Fear that gives us anxiety. Fear that freezes us in our tracks. I have. That's the fear of man. That's how the world wants us to respond to situations. But when we are walking in the fear of God and we're living our lives in reverence and honor to the Lord, we're going to see that it's a place of safety. Yes. Amen? Yes. So what would you want to be, God-fearing or man-fearing? Which, going by this definition, we could be God-honoring, God-reverencing. God, we live our lives in awe of God, right? I want to be known by that. Or if we are man-fearing, that means man is causing us to tremble. Man is giving us anxiety. I don't want anybody to have that kind of power or control over me. I'm a child of the King of Kings. I want to walk as God-fearing as I can in honoring God, because the opposite would be to have the fear of man, which means man outside of the word is causing me fear, is causing me to tremble, is causing me anxiety. We are to call on the one who is feared to protect us and to keep our well-being, not allowing the spirit of fear, worry, or anxiety, or trembling that wants to come maybe through the news or through the media, or maybe with a medical report. How many times when you hear news of any kind, news from a family member, news on TV, news from the doctor, that fear, that anxiety wants to rise up. That's the fear of man. That's the fear of a diagnosis. When we walk in the fear of God, God is our peace. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. God shelters us. He protects us. Amen? Amen. Even when we look at the world around us with our children and our young people, you know, the statistics want to put fear in us concerning the world and what the future is for these upcoming generations. That means man's opinion can put fear on you. Man's opinion is what they think. Man's opinion of you or your marriage, the statistics of what marriages being successful and thriving, that's their opinion. over the opinion of the Word of God? Not in my house. Over the power and the truth of the Word of God? That's our choice. We could fear a man's opinion, what man thinks, or we can take the truth of the Word versus that opinion, and this is the fact that we go by. Amen? Amen. There was a time Anthony was in preschool. I had Nico home as an infant, and Anthony was getting in all kinds of trouble. And this is, I just want to encourage you not to fear any diagnosis. Amen. Or what the world would want to put on your children. Amen. Or on your marriage, or saying that you're depressed or you have anxiety, or the fear out in the world and everybody's fearful, everybody's taking Xanax, everybody needs something to go to sleep. No, I need the Word to go to sleep. Amen. That's the fear of man. We walk in the fear of God. So just for some funny story, Anthony was almost four. I was home with Nico. He was an infant, and Anthony was getting in some serious trouble in preschool. And the director of the preschool finally called me up and said, "We think Anthony needs to go to be evaluated. We feel he's going to need occupational therapy." And I was like, "What?" But they said occupational therapy, and I went and looked up what that meant. And I was like, "Oh, okay." Fear settled in my heart. Fear of what they were diagnosing my son with. Fear of what their opinion was over what the Word of God had said about him. So long story short, we went, and Anthony did not need occupational therapy. Anthony needed to be reminded that he had the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. And I would tell him, "Anthony, you have self-control and you will use it." So parents, sometimes you just need to hit your kids hard with the Word. Remind them the power they have on the inside of them. Tell them who they are in Jesus, and they are fully equipped. And at 4 years old, he would say, "I have self-control." Amen. That's what he needed, self-control with the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. And that's not to say every diagnosis is wrong. That's not to say that therapy isn't needed. I want to encourage you to not allow somebody's opinion of you, of your children, of your marriage, be a statistic on you when we have the truth of the Word of God. We don't fear man and man's opinion of us. We go to the Word of God first. Amen? Amen? Not fearing, as the verse in Isaiah chapter 8 said, conspiracies that may be around us. The did you hear and did you see and did you know? You know, that might happen to some of you at work. Did you know there's going to be layoffs? Did you know there's going to be cutbacks? Did you know we're going to be in economic crisis? Did you know there's going to be a shifting taking place? Well, if there's a shifting taking place and you are God-fearing, that means there's a shift taking place for you to be put on top. Amen. That's where we live as God-fearing people. We don't fear man. We don't fear what's taking place around us. We walk in the reverence and fear and awe of the Lord. Amen? Amen. We fear God, not man. The fear of Isaac, the one feared. We are to walk in the fear of the Lord. If you could turn with me to Proverbs 29:25 in your Bible. It says, "The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." If you could circle fear and draw a line to snare, an underlined snare, and then circle trust and bring it to safe. I love Proverbs with the contrasts in it. Makes me remember things better. The words fear and trust here are used as a contrast. We either fear man or we trust God. So when we are walking in the fear of man, fear of media, fear of news, fear of diagnosis, fear of what somebody's opinion is of you, then we can't be trusting God. And that's a snare. However, then the opposite, the contrast there, when we trust God, we are safe. When we trust God, the fear of man has no power over us. When we trust God, it's one or the other. We either fear man or we trust God. We're either caught in a snare or we're set in safety. So the contrast is the snare, which is that bait, that trap, that lure around us that the enemy would try to set us. It's like a hunter setting a trap. When we fear man, we're going to be snared. You can think of any kind of, you know, trap that you would set up for an animal. Of course, I'm picturing this giant bear trap right now in my mind. And that's what the enemy wants to do when we fear man, when we fear somebody's opinion of us, when that's stopping us and hindering us and holding us back. It's literally like a trap holding that animal in place. The enemy doesn't want us to move forward, church. The enemy doesn't want us to speak God's word. And I want to get to that. The snare is to silence us from speaking the truth of the word of God instead of trusting in man where we are safe. Romans 8:31 says, what can man do to us? For if God is for us, who can be against us? These are scripture verses that we need to have an awe of and honoring the word in our lives. Amen? Because there are times we are more concerned about offending people and their sin than we are about offending God. That's what fear of man will do. It will snare us to silence us because we don't want to offend somebody. And that is a trap. But when we trust God, right, we can't hesitate, church, when something's not sitting right with us in our spirit. When we don't walk out of a room, when we don't say, you know what, can you not put that on when my kids are around? Is that okay? You know, my kids don't read that. My kids don't watch that. And not hesitate when we don't speak to a situation because we're fearful of man. We are called to speak the truth in love. It says in Ephesians 4:15, so that growth and change can come is the other part of that scripture verse. Not condemning, not being judgmental of someone else in their home, but not stabbing them with the sword of the Spirit. That's exactly how the Holy Spirit worded that to me today. But speaking the truth in love. Jesus is called truth and God is love, right? So if we are speaking the truth in love, we are honestly speaking Jesus through the Holy Spirit's direction, we will get God's results. That's what speaking the truth in love should do. Amen? I'm going to say it again. When we honestly, because Jesus is truth and God is love, we honestly speak Jesus through the direction of the Holy Spirit, then we will get God's results. At times, our silence on the matters of sin will keep people trapped in their wrongdoings. See, church, there are some people we are called to have a voice in their lives. We are called to be a voice of the word of God. And when we were ensnared by fear of the enemy and snared to silence us, what will happen is they will stay trapped in their wrongdoings, or they'll just fall right into hell when we are silenced because of fear of man. By risking their offense and speaking truth, we can save them. We're called to be a voice, not the fear of man, but in the fear of God. Are we more afraid of offending someone else than we are of offending God? God who keeps the breath in our body. I don't want to offend him. God who saved me, delivered me. God Almighty. Let's not offend God out of fear of offending people. If we are fearful of offending a friend or a family member by saying, well, if I don't agree with them or I don't side with them, they're going to get mad and angry and they're going to walk away from me. They're going to try to shut me out. But we're accountable to God. Yes, they may get mad. Yes, they may try to walk away from you, but now you've planted a seed and you've given them something else to contradict the deceit that they're listening to. That's our role. That's our job when we're led by the Lord, when we're speaking the truth in love. Now I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 12, verse 5. Jesus tells us who we are to fear, not the fear of man. Jesus says, I will show you who you should fear. Jesus is telling us this. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. We are called to fear God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 26 through 31, I'm going to turn there and read this portion of scripture. Jesus is saying, so do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Let's not get ensnared by the fear of man, more concerned about offending someone when God's given us a voice to speak to them in the Spirit. Amen? How much more should we be fearful of grieving the Holy Spirit by not living his word in every way possible? The Holy Spirit's with us all the time, church. Nothing can separate us from the Holy Spirit now. He comes with us, amen. Comes with us everywhere we go. You know, when I was raised in church, as a little girl, I say this kind of jokingly now, I had the fear of God in me. I didn't know Jesus to really be a friend or a help. I didn't know the power of the Holy Ghost, but I had a healthy fear of God. And that fear of God, and I knew that God was with me everywhere I went, kept me from sin, amen. Kept me from always going in the wrong direction, because I had a God, the one feared, watching over me, watching over me to protect me, watching over me to hedge me in, watching over me because he loves me. Amen? Fear the feared one. Let's make the most of every opportunity, church, with the time that we have on earth before the Lord returns, that our voice, let's not be silent when God gives us a word to speak because we're fearful of man. That spirit of fear wants to come at us in every way, shape, or form. And that spirit of fear right now wants to keep the church snared and silent. And we won't be. We're going to speak the truth in love. But please, don't go from here and condemn, judge, or stab somebody with the sword. Only when we are prompted by the Holy Spirit. Only when it's Jesus coming from us. Only then will we get the results that God has planned. And yes, people may walk away. People may try to shut us out of their lives. But we are leaving them with the power seed of the gospel that will permeate in them, that will bring a change in them. And then we can pray, Lord, we've sowed that seed, and now send somebody to water that seed. Send someone to compliment and say the same thing that was said to bring life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We don't want to offend the Holy Spirit, the fear of God. Hasn't the Lord taught us in his word so many beautiful teachings? Why would we want to offend his teachings in our lives? Why would we want to deny his teachings? Is he not our Savior? Should we not want to honor him over any other person? Over anyone else, he should be honored and reverenced in our lives. Amen? Isn't he our healer? Let's not disregard the blood that's been shed for us. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this, "Fear God, keep his commandments." In the Amplified, it says it this way, "When all has been heard, the end of the matter is fear God, worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is Almighty God, and keep his commandments, for this applies to every person." Another version of this at the end says, this is what life is all about. This is what our lives should be all about. Not trying to appease people, not trying to make people comfortable in their sin. Our lives should be fearing God and keeping his commandments. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's what we are here to do. This applies to every person, the word says. Every person. This is a reverence fear of the Lord. This is that feeling, and I can only relate to it in this respect of, I've been to beautiful Catholic cathedrals. You walk into St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, and you get off the crazy streets of New York, and you step through those doors, and there's silence. There's silence. No one's talking. No one's chewing gum. No one's swearing. No one's smoking. There's a reverence for that building, for a place that man made. Our lives should have that reverence for God. That reverence for his spirit on the inside of us. Are we not his temples? Which means that we're cathedrals? Let's treat one ourselves as such. Let's treat other believers as such. Let's honor God's word in our lives with reverence and fear and acknowledge that his presence goes with us everywhere we go. I don't want to offend the Holy Spirit out of fear of offending someone else. As we walk in the fear of God, this is stating that we trust the Lord and his security more than man's power to harm or hurt us. Right? Jesus said, we're to fear God, the one who can keep us from hell. So verse man's power versus God's power. We either fear man or we fear God. One commentary read it this way, says, such trust carries a man safe through all dangers. When we fear God and trust God, we will be carried safely through all dangers. Fearing to offend God, because we will live always under his watchful eye, we will feel the divine protection and know that whatever happens to us is for the best. That's what living in the fear of God is about. Knowing that whatever is taking place when we are honoring God, living in reverence to him, he will protect us and his watchful eye is on us. The reverential fear of God will keep us from sin. Romans 3:18 says this, those who sin have no fear of God before their eyes. So, you know, when you look at the world and, you know, we all do this as judgy Christians, oh, how could they live like that? Oh, how could they just let that happen? How could they let their kids go do that? They're not walking with the fear of God in front of their eyes, church, which means those of us who have the fear of God should be kept from sin, is what that verse simply means. The fear of God, holy reverence, we should be displaying our love for God and affection towards him as we obey his word. Why? Because we love him. We revere him. We want to respect him. When you reverence something, you honor it, you respect. When we reverence and honor God, this keeps us from works of the flesh. Works of the flesh. We could list them: unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, disobedience, gossip, slander, hatred, strife, pride. The fear of God will keep us from walking those things out. Yes, we all have to cast them down. Yes, we're all tempted by them. But are we going to let them dominate our lives? Or are we going to allow the fear of God to dominate our lives and walk in reverence and awe of him? Let me ask it to you this way. Do we fear when God says, if you do not forgive others, I cannot forgive you? You know, church, we want to take the promises of God and hold on to them tight. But when we have a fear of God, we have to take every word from God in reverence, in awe, in fear, in honor. If you do not forgive others, I cannot forgive you. That's fear of God that I have, that I can't hold on to unforgiveness because I need to be forgiven. I have to show mercy to someone else. You know why? I'm going to need mercy. I can't judge someone else because I don't want to be judged. That's the fear of God in us. The scripture that says you'll reap what you sow. We like that when it comes to nice things. We like that when it comes to giving, right? We like that when it comes to, I've sowed kindness, I'm going to reap kindness back. Have you sown strife? Fear God. Keep his commandments. Do we trust that God will do all that he says he will do? Yes, I do. God's going to do all that he says he's going to do. He will love us. He will show us mercy. But he will also judge us when we stand before the throne room. To fear God, to honor the feared one, will keep us from snares. It will keep us from the snare of the fear of man. How about when we start to fear the trial or the test that's coming at us? We start to fear the sickness, fear the diagnosis. Say, God, I'll never survive this one, right? Have you ever been so desperate where you think, I'm not going to survive this one? God, this one took me out by my feet. I'm not going to survive this one. That's fear that this situation, I'm not going to recover. I have fear that I'm not going to recover from this, God. That's saying this situation is bigger than God. There's nothing. There's no trial. There's no test. There's no trauma that is bigger than God, church. When we fear God, we have the reverence of God, we have the awe of God, we get to experience the power of God delivering us. We get to experience the power of God setting us free. Amen? Because we can change that. And we can say, God, I trust you. I fear you, God, more than I fear this situation. God, I fear you more than I fear what's happening outside those doors. God, I fear you more than a diagnosis. God, I fear you, and I will honor you. with my life. That's what the Lord is encouraging us today. Amen? Because we do get to hold on to the promises and honor the word and say, you can do all things through me. That's what the Lord is saying to us tonight. The Lord is saying, you will not be overcome because you're an overcomer. See, when we honor the word, we do get to honor all of the word. Amen? We get to honor the promises and walk in the awe that God is giving us his promises, that we will not be overcome, that we are overcomers. Amen? Amen? Amen. God is a God of love and mercy. And because of his love and mercy, we can walk in fear and honor him, knowing that his promises to us are yea and amen. I'm going to finish with this portion here. God said this, the Holy Spirit said this so clearly to me this afternoon. He said, God is a disciplinarian, not a tyrant. Okay? God is a disciplinarian, not a tyrant. He disciplines us because he loves us, and he is protecting us to bring growth and maturity in our lives. Every command that God has given us as we honor his word in fear, in reverence, and in awe is to purge something out of us. It is to protect us, to preserve us, to prosper us. That's what is taking place as we honor and reverence God and choose his life. Amen? And when we have fear of the Lord, God promises us. There's some promises for us in the Bible. And if you want to write these down, there's a short list, not really long. And I'm going to close with these. And I want to encourage you to make these a declaration over your lives, over your family, over your children, over your husband or your wife, and say, Lord, we fear you and you will promise. You have promised to deliver us from our enemies. That's 2 Kings 17:39. God, we fear you and you promise that you will protect us from evil. That's Proverbs 16, verse 6. God, we fear you, we reverence you, we honor you, and you promise to keep your eye on us. That's Psalms 33, 18. God, we fear you, we reverence you, and you promise to show us your mercy. Luke 1, 50. God, we walk in fear of you, we will honor you all the days of our lives, and you have promised to give us riches and honor. That's Proverbs 22, verse 4. Again, Lord, we fear you, and you promise to supply everything we need. Psalms 34, 9. Come on, church, there's promises in the word of God when we walk in fear and honor the Lord. Amen? God promises to reveal to us all we need to know, everything we need to know. That's Psalms 25, 14. God promises to bless our children and our grandchildren. That's Psalms 103, verse 17. We should be speaking these out, church, over our lives, over our families. Amen? In our prayer, when we declare, we are prophesying out. We are causing the word to be in action in our lives. A few more gives us confidence when we fear the Lord. Proverbs 14, 26. The Lord promises to give us a satisfying life. Proverbs 19, 23. The fear of the Lord, God promises to give us longevity. Proverbs 10, 27. And the last one, when we have the fear of the Lord, God promises to give us the desires of our heart. Psalms 1, 45, 19. The fear of the Lord, church, is the beginning of all wisdom. We walk in the wisdom of the Lord. That's Proverbs 9, verse 10. The Lord tells us we have wisdom when we walk in fear of the Lord. Let's honor God. Not get caught up in the fear of man and allow it to be a snare in our lives. But when we honor God, we walk in his safety. Amen? Amen. Let's just close in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, tonight. Lord, that as we expose the fear of man, we will not allow it to be a snare in our lives any longer. We release it. Lord, we will not allow someone's opinions over us determine our honoring you. We make this our prayer and our declaration to you tonight, mighty God, that we will choose to honor you. We will walk in reverence and in fear of you, mighty God. In all that we do, we will honor you. We cover this night in this word and each one here tonight in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we thank you. for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.